Rob Asperio here on the Viral Volley Podcast. Wanted to encourage you to support local restaurants. One of my favorites is the Outpost Kitchen over on 1792 Monrovia Avenue over in Westside Costa Mesa. My favorite smoothie there, the Bulletproof. A little cold brew action, almond butter, banana, almond milk, honey, dates, and cocoa nibs. It's a tasty treat for me, but hey, as we go through these COVID times, let's help each other out and support our local businesses. Today on the Viral Volley Podcast, I've got USA Men's National Team member, outside hitter Taylor Sander, who is also a BYU All-American. So enjoy the podcast vodcast today. All right. Hey, Taylor, what have you been doing since the end of VNL in 2019? I know a lot's happened this last year for you.
Yeah, since VNL, like last year, I think it's been a really long time since I've played volleyball or been a part of any team. You know, I had some shoulder problems throughout that VNL, was kind of struggling through it. We had the Olympic qualifier later on in that summer. So I was trying to get healthy, you know, working out, rehabbing, training with the team as much as I could. Was able to rehab my way back to the VNL finals, where I actually felt great. And then after that, I was having a hard time with my shoulder again. Did some more rehab, took a little break, tried to strengthen it, and then, you know, tried to be a part of that team that went to qualify for the Olympics. Mm-hmm. And I was there being more of a team leader. Was hoping I was going to be able to get on the court, but that didn't happen. And then when we qualified, which was awesome, the guys did amazing that tournament. I got back, had a scan on my shoulder. They told me my shoulder was toast. The best option for me was to either sit out a club season. I was signed in Moscow, Russia. So they wanted me to either sit out that and then pretty much rehab, get strong, and then pretty much save myself for the Olympic Games. And so that was my option, or the other option was just have surgery, get everything, you know, taken care of now, and then, you know, try and make my return for VNL this summer, the 2020 summer. Mm-hmm. And so I went with the surgery route, and I've been rehabbing, getting stronger, having a nice family break, a nice time away from volleyball. Which has been great, but, you know, starting my road to recovery and return to play now, and I'm excited for that adventure.
Well, you know, obviously, after the end of last year's VNL, a lot of history has happened. In fact, as we sit here, we're all in quarantine mode here in Orange County, and I know you're in Huntington Beach, and I'm in Costa Mesa, but we were chatting a little bit earlier, but this is like the longest break that you've had probably since before you even went to BYU. How has it been being able to spend that time, and what have you been doing to really treasure that time?
Yeah, it's been awesome. I've never had this time, like you said. And I'm glad that this coronavirus thing kind of happened, because, you know, all the other athletes that didn't get a chance to take a year off, they're getting their break now. And I think it's healthy. And, you know, it's not what everybody wants to be doing, but I think, you know, talking with all my teammates that I've played with, you know, they're really enjoying, you know, having this family time, focusing on other things in their life, but then being really hungry to return. And I think that's where we're all at. We're hungry to get back on the court. But for me, I've been really spending a lot of time with my family, building those relationships, spending time together, which is really important. It's really healthy to, you know, have that family dynamic. And then doing things I normally couldn't do, like go out and surf every day, and golf, and do all these fun things that, you know, I really think are important in my volleyball career, because being able to get away is something that I really focus on, and being able to get my mind off volleyball and go do other things is really important. So it's been awesome. We've had some fun family trips and just creating a lot of good memories.
Well, obviously you have a little one now, and you do have some other another niece, and basically all your family is all within, it seems like, a 10-minute walk there in Huntington Beach. It must be a great time for you guys to really connect.
Yeah, we've done a lot of things together. We're over at my parents' house every day. I don't have a yard. I'm actually in Costa Mesa with you. It's just right on the border of Huntington and Costa Mesa. But we come over here every day. They have a yard. Atlee, my little son, likes to play here. And so it's like either we're barbecuing at my house, we're barbecuing here. It's been a lot of fun. And so we've enjoyed kind of this stage in his life because he's grown up a lot in the past couple months, and it's been fun to see the whole family be there to see him in this stage.
Well, so when we first got on, when I saw you, so you looked really relaxed, and but you actually do, and what I'm getting from the athletes I've been talking to, it's a refreshing time for them. And although it's a pandemic and there's so many things happening in the world, but this has been the one thing I've noticed. It's they're a lot more relaxed, and their bodies are able to heal. Can you comment a little more about on the healing process and reconnecting with family?
Yeah, I mean it's hard what we do, and it's very physically demanding on the body. And so for me to be able to not have to worry about waking up the next morning and going to put my body through hell, and so for me it's awesome. I really, I think it, I don't know if I want to say the word lucky, but I've really, taken advantage of this time. And then also focusing on getting my body stronger and working on the things that, were a problem in the past. And so I built a home gym in my garage. It's a full setup, and it's what, we use with the national team. And so I have that in my garage, and me and my brother have been lifting almost every day and working on our bodies to feel strong. And so I'm really excited for my return. I feel like it's the strongest I've ever been. And yeah, it's gonna be a good road to returning to play.
Well, it's interesting to hear that because in speaking with other athletes, they've also said the same very similar thing. Like, you know what, our bodies are rested, but they're also getting stronger, and our mindset's gonna be better. I think when we come back, we're gonna see a new level of play. And I mean, to see you at a new level of play would put you in the like superhuman category for me. So.
It's been a long time. I don't even know if I can play volleyball. I've been playing here and there, but it's been a long time. And I still study the game, and I love watching clips of other people and learning from them. And so I'm constantly trying to learn even when I'm not playing.
I'm curious who Taylor Sander watches to learn the game from, because it just seems like you're such a natural on the court. You just are in the right place at the right time and make the right moves. But I'm curious at your answer.
Yeah, there's so many. I mean, all my USA teammates I love watching. They all have something to learn from. But then there's a lot of really good players in the world. Like Leon. I mean, I'm not as physical. I'm not jumping or hitting as hard as him, but there's some things that he does that I'll never be able to do. But for me, it's fun being able to watch someone like that. And then, there's so many players. I love watching my brother, for example. It's fun seeing him grow. He's really, performed well this last year on his club team. And so seeing that, and it's just inspiring. And so I just love watching volleyball, being a part of it.
Well, we miss seeing you play. So, let's go ahead and take a break right there. We'll go into our next segment. I'm with Taylor Sander, and we're here on the Viral Volley Podcast and or volleyballmag.com, depending on what you're listening on. Everyone, I'm with Taylor Sander, the USA men's national team, and a ton of other great club teams in other countries that we're about to talk about right now here on the Viral Volley Podcast and volleyballmag.com. Hey, Taylor, you've had some great results and opportunities playing in countries like China, Qatar, Italy, and last year, Brazil. It seems wherever you land, your team wins. What has been your favorite team experience in your travels?
Yeah, there's been so many good ones. I've been really lucky to play on the teams I've played on, some of the best teams in those leagues. And so, I have great memories from all of them. But I really enjoyed this last season in Brazil and getting to know Brazilian volleyball, because they've always been such a powerhouse as a national team. Mm-hmm. And so being there, seeing how they work every day, and, you know, getting to know the people there. And my wife and I really enjoyed living there. And we really connected with the people. They were really warm to us, really helped us with the living situation and making us feel comfortable. And then as far as going to work every day, those guys work so hard. And they train hard in the weight room and on the court. And so it's not very hard to get motivated to go every day, because everybody has that same mindset. And so for me, that was the coolest part of being, you know, or playing pro in Brazil. And I think, you know, it's the reason why I want to return to play there, you know, someday.
Now, your team, Sada Cruzeiro, you mentioned it is a powerhouse. And I, following the game the way I do, it's like you always hear about Sada Cruzeiro. But, gosh, the teammates you had Isaac, Evandro, and then Kevin Leroux of France was on your team. It seems like you were a star-studded roster. You know, you guys won the Brazilian Cup and the Brazilian Championship. Was it even close for you guys?
Yeah, it was. I mean, there's a lot of really good teams. It's a tough league. It's tougher than a lot of people think. And there's a lot of good volleyball players out of Brazil that you never heard of. And so it was always hard. And being on Sada Cruzeiro is like you have more pressure. The fans are a little bit more brutal. They expect you to win. So when you don't win, it's like a riot, you know. But for me, it's cool being a part of such a, you know, historic volleyball club, and then playing with the players I got to play with was a great experience.
Were you ever heckled by the Brazilian crowds at the opponent's gyms?
Yeah, every time, but I have no idea what they're saying, so it's all good.
Your Portuguese isn't so good right now, huh?
No, I could. I started to learn how to understand, but I'm used to people heckling me, and it's not that big of a deal.
Now, this year you were slated to go to Dynamo Moscow, yet another powerhouse team, but this time in Russia. I mean, the fact that these big teams are wanting to have you on their rosters speaks volumes. But at what point did you decide to not go out to Russia to play because of your shoulder?
Yeah, so it was a difficult decision. I was very excited. It was one of my biggest opportunities. I've always wanted to play in Russia. I think one of my goals is to play in, you know, all those strong leagues and get to experience all the different types of volleyball, unique styles that they play with. And so I was super excited. It was a difficult decision to not go, but for me, I wouldn't have lasted the whole season. And so I wanted to be honest with them, and I wanted them to give them a chance to get another strong player. And so it was hard for me. It was hard, you know, I knew I wasn't going to have a job, wasn't going to get paid. And so for me, it was difficult, but it was the right decision for my career going forward, because I was going to have surgery, you know, in the future anyways. And so I just wanted to get it over with, and then, you know, focus on getting stronger and, you know, getting back to the national team and trying to win a gold medal.
Well, let's transition over towards the VNL, FIVB VNL and the Olympics portion here. During the 2019 VNL season, and you amassed 144 points on the season, and you finished off with a bronze medal. And you'd mentioned that you made it back for VNL finals. What were your thoughts on the 2019 campaign and the look of USA Volleyball at that point?
Yeah, it was interesting. We didn't have everybody to start because of Champions League with the clubs the year or right before VNL. So some guys got a little bit back a little bit late, and then the coaches wanted to give them a little bit of break before starting with the national team. And so we were missing some key guys like Micah and Matt Anderson and Aaron Russell. And so It was different. We had a little bit younger group with us to start. I think we started in Poland. And then, you know, I was with them most of the way. And then I started having some shoulder problems. And so I wasn't able to play every match. But the coaches were doing a good job at, you know, getting everybody a chance to play and get the valuable experience out there on the court. And so, you know, for me, I think it was good. We didn't have to qualify because we were hosting in Chicago. And so that played a big role in our coaches' decisions because, you know, we were able to rest some players, but we wanted them to be, you know, at their highest level when we got to the finals. And so it was a roller coaster. Mm-hmm. They did a lot of like managing and stuff like that, but they wanted to make sure that we had, you know, good trainings in before we got to the finals. And I thought we showed up with a great team. Not everybody was super healthy, but, you know, we were actually in the gold medal match.
Yep.
Pretty sure. And yeah. We lost the gold medal match, but it was a good match. It was fun to be in a gold medal match. It had been a long time. But VNL is always a grind, and I feel like the coaches did a good job at managing us.
Yeah, unfortunately, you came across a Russia team who got hot right in that match. I mean, everything they're doing in that final just seemed to go their way. So everything you were throwing at them, they were just were getting onto. So yeah. I rewatched that last week, like, wow, I hadn't seen Russia play that way.
Yeah, they're a good team if they get hot. You know, you have to serve tough to be able to beat them, and we didn't have our best serving match, and so that was for sure the difference.
Now, this week, you would have started VNL here in the USA. You would have been in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and, you know, obviously, you know, with the way this pandemic's planned out, it's not happening. It's being postponed to next year, but given, like, the talent that you've seen in the USA gym, how do you feel the USA team would have fared in this year's VNL?
Yeah, I think we would have done great. I think every year we get a little bit stronger because our experience we get a little bit deeper with experience. And so having last year, having those young guys be able to play in some big matches and then be able to have another year overseas playing international volleyball and then them coming back and then joining us veterans and then seeing how they grow and how they can, you know, help our team is something that I was looking forward to. I mean, everybody's growing, everybody's getting stronger, bigger, faster. And so, you know, I'm excited to see what everybody looks like. I know my brother got a lot better. He's kind of like the guy I see every day. And so, you know, me watching him and seeing how he grew this year and then just shooting messages to the younger guys and seeing how their seasons went, seeing some highlights. And, you know, it's exciting seeing that young talent and then seeing how they can fit in and contribute to, you know, our roster.
Well, it seems like the Sander family will have a unfair advantage because, you know, with the coronavirus restrictions on activity, you can play one-on-one volleyball. I don't know how all of us can do that, but you can play against your brother since you're related on the beach, right?
Exactly. Well, we play with my dad, my mom. You know, we've been doing – I have a net, so we've been playing down on the beach. Nobody stopped us yet.
So, yeah. Are you saying from a game standpoint or from a legal standpoint?
Both.
Yeah, I know your mom's got games. She's sandbagging in all the Huntington Beach Rec Leagues. Hey, so when the COVID pandemic broke out and from it, the resultant halted play of VNL and obviously the postponement of the Tokyo Olympics, I guess what was your response upon hearing that all these international competitions were being canceled and or delayed?
Yeah, I was here training in Anaheim at the USA Training Center. And so I was kind of listening to things through our athletic trainer. And he was like, yeah, they're thinking about canceling this. They're thinking about canceling the leagues.
And you're talking about Aaron Brock, correct?
Yeah, Aaron Brock. And so we had small conversations and we were like, there's no way this is ever going to, you know, affect us. Like, we were really optimistic that nothing was going to happen. And then he kind of had some inside information, and we started hearing, oh, maybe we're not going to be able to come in into Anaheim and train, and then some people are going to start coming home from overseas. And it was real crazy. I couldn't believe it. I was like, man, this is real wild. Like, nothing like this has ever happened. And so, yeah, it was weird. It was just a weird time. It still is. Just being in a social setting is weird. Going to the grocery store is, I don't know. It's funky times, but yeah. Getting through it, we're almost there, I think, or I hope.
Yeah. Well, obviously, we just had the announcement yesterday from Governor Newsom that we should expect a loosening of the restrictions in the upcoming weeks rather than months. So I'm looking forward to that. But, man, I miss seeing all you guys play. And I would have been in Pittsburgh for VNL, see you guys play the only time in the United States. But, you know, it is what it is, and it's happening, and we're making it by slowly. Regarding VNL, though, I mean, since you've been on the roster, I believe it was 2014, the USA has had some really good results. You've medaled, you won gold in Florence at 2014, and have at least got the bronze. And in other international competitions, like the World Championships, received bronze, and the Olympics, another bronze medal. But it seems like the USA program is trending upward. And a lot of it was a talent that came out when your first year. Obviously, you bring so much to the USA table in competition, but in whole, what the team is doing, it's like you guys have such a great chemistry together. Can you comment a little bit of the progression and growth of the team from the time you've jumped on to now?
Yeah, it's been interesting. I felt like I got very lucky. I had a solid college career, and, you know, I got in the gym 2012. So I got to train with that team just before they went to the Olympics. But I don't know. I think when John took over, he wanted to give some young guys a chance. And he really, I think, did that. I think he gave me the chance. He was like, hey, we're going to throw you in there. We're going to, you know, get you some international experience. He did the same with Aaron Russell. You know, Matt and Micah was also thrown in, I think, 2013 as a starter. And so it was interesting. But I feel like, you know, we have like a solid young crew of players that have mixed in with the Matt Andersons and the Max Holtz and like that. And then we've played so many summers together now that, you know, we've kind of created this brotherhood, and we have this trust, and we have the way that we come to work every day. We all have bought into what, you know, John has created and the culture that we've created at USA Volleyball. And so I think that's the reason why we've been so successful. We are never complacent, and we're always trying to find little ways to get better, whether it's mentally, physically, or, you know, technically. And so I think just that being in that environment and having the coaches we have is the reason why we've been successful. But we are always striving to win gold medals, not bronze medals. And so
right,
the level is so high these days, and it's only getting higher. And so for us, we have to keep, you know, getting better to be able to keep up with all these teams in the world. And so
well, speaking of the future of USA Volleyball, I'm curious as to who you see as who's in the USA gym, who's really catching your eye and developing, and it's not to be held to stone, but I mean, like, who's really catching your eye performance-wise for all of us that don't get to be at ASC?
Yeah, there's so many. It's hard to name a few, but, like, people like Micah Maa, TJ DeFalco, my brother, and then, you know, the Ben Patches, who's kind of playing behind Matt but is having a really good professional career. Jeff Jendrick, who gets a start, not always a starter, but is really physical and can be really good. And then there's a lot of young guys that I can't name a few, but there's a bunch of young guys on the Pan Am team that are very good, just need a little bit more international experience to be able to, you know, play at the level we're playing at. But, you know, there's, I mean, boys volleyball is growing in the U.S. and, you know, we're kind of banking on that for our national team. And so we just want, I want to encourage all the young guys out there to, you know, keep working hard and strive to get scholarships and play, you know, at a high level in the college game so that, you know, they can come, you know, be ready to play with the national team and contribute to winning medals at the Olympics and VNL in the future. And so I think, you know, everybody out there has a role to play in it.
Yeah. Well, it's, we're seeing that, you know, we're getting talent from different pockets of the United States these days. So it's great seeing that kind of growth, but also the unprecedented growth of like double digits in high school participation on both the boys and women's side. So the game is growing and we're seeing bigger talent pools. So looking good for the future of USA volleyball. So in this time off that you've had, word through the grapevine is you're at the UCI versus BYU matches in January. Saw some social posts from your mom, of course, and I was like, oh, I would have loved to have seen you guys there. But you obviously saw BYU play with their big guns of Davide Gardini and Gabby Garcia Fernandez. And you had to be pretty proud of your alma mater. I mean, they finished the season ranked number one in the AVCA poll with a 17-1 record, with their only loss being the last match of this shortened season. What were your thoughts in seeing BYU play at the level they've been playing at? And since I was the host of College Volleyball Weekly, so I got to sneak that in there.
Yeah, you know, it was fun watching them. I've been actually following that team because I felt like that was the team that could win the national championship this year. I thought, you know, they had the pieces. They had a lot of foreign talent. And then having some big guns on the pins. You know, Gabby, pretty crazy arm, really good player. And then Davide kind of brought the experience of, you know, having that international level of volleyball. And he was a more of like a smart player, liked to use the block. And so I really enjoyed following them. I'm super bummed for all the seniors that had their seasons cut short. I would have loved to see how that all turned out. But yeah, I got to go see the UCI-BYU game in Irvine, and it was a great match. It was fun. I don't know. I haven't been a part of that college setting for a long time, but it was cool seeing, you know, the game at that level and how, you know, everybody's just continuing to step up and perform at these high levels. And it's cool to see that.
Yeah. So I interviewed Gabby towards the end of the season, and, you know, he came four shy of tying your service aces in a season record. You ended with 55 in 2014, and he had 51 in the shortened season. And BYU had six more regular season matches to play, and that wasn't even counting all the playoff matches. But it was cool what he said. He said that in interviews or somehow he got in an exchange with you, say, and you were asked, like, how does it feel like with, you know, Gabby could break your record? And you're so encouraged, like, oh man, have at it. You know, knock it down and win, you know? So it was cool seeing your encouragement of him and how he appreciated your comment to just go ahead and do it.
For me, it's, you know, records aren't that important, but like for me, he for sure has a better serve than me. He's got a good arm and, you know, yeah, he for sure would have smashed my record. But like for me, it's cool to see that, you know, I appreciate it. I want him to win a national championship rather than get a serving record, but it's all good. I'm proud of him. I think he's turned out to be a great player and he definitely has an arm on him.
Well, if you're to sit around the bragging rights table, you can always hold this one on top of him and say, hey, you know, I still have the most service aces in the match, 9 versus UCSD. You only had 8 against University of Mount Olive.
Yeah, there you go. Got something over him, I guess.
Hey, talk about your BYU career. I was looking at some of the records annals, you know, just preparing to chat with you, but I had no idea that you and Brendan, your brother, for those who are watching, listening, and didn't figure out that Brendan is related to Taylor, you guys finished with the exact hitting percentage in your careers at BYU with a 395.
I had no idea. I have no idea what records or anything that we hold, but yeah, that's awesome. That's actually pretty cool.
That's tied for third in their all-time records.
Well, there you go. That's actually not bad for an outside hitter. I'd take that any day.
Yeah. Yep. Good. And the other eye-catching stat line was you and Brendan are number one and number two in service aces for career, which is 182, and he finished with 116, so he had quite some distance to catch up to you. But still, both Sanders at one and two is pretty darn good.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm so grateful that we were both able to play for BYU. And I think just the environment that they created for us to get better and to succeed was, I think, top-notch. I'm super blessed to have played there.
Well, I got to ask you the most obvious question, being that this is a family thing. Would your Norco team have beaten Brendan's Huntington Beach team?
Not even close. We would have got destroyed.
That's why is that?
Ridiculous. They were real good, but they would have crushed us for sure.
But yeah, is it Johansson? Is that Johan? I forgot your other outside that played with you. Brink. Yeah, Johan is great.
A good team, but we were, I think, D2 CIF or D3 maybe. But Brennan's team was on another level. They were real solid at every position.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Sander family has provided some great CIF, Southern Section, and state volleyball memories for me since I got to see all you guys play through there. And I was like, gosh, who are these Sander kids? And, of course, I'd see guys against Newport Harbor. I'd see at Huntington Beach. You know, just crazy, crazy talent in your family. I'd hate to be at a family picnic playing volleyball against your family.
Yeah, you know, it's a big part of our family. We love it. I think, you know, it's something we could all enjoy together, and just got to thank the parents. You know, they have given us all these opportunities to play and support us. So hats off to them. They're pretty amazing people.
Well, let me ask you some of your favorite moments then, just as a quick rundown, part of a rundown segment, which we'll take a break before, but what was your favorite high school moment?
It's so hard to think back that far.
Because you're so old.
For sure, CIF. You know, that was a big thing for our school, for the history books there, and for our city. I think everybody was on board and supporting us. And, yeah, Norco, no one knows where Norco is. And so we kind of put them on the map for, you know, there's been some good volleyball players that have come out of there. And so I think that winning CIF with some of my best friends on the team, it's pretty cool.
How about your favorite club volleyball moment?
And my favorite club volleyball moment? That's a difficult one.
What club did you play for? I don't want to get it wrong, so I'm just going to ask you.
What clubs have I played for?
Like what club, junior club, you played for? Because I can't know, but I want to be sure.
I grew up playing for Mavericks Volleyball Club. That's in Corona. Mm-hmm. And then I moved from there to a 14 and under club at Riptides. And then I'm pretty sure 15 and under to 18 and under, I played for Orange Coast Volleyball Club.
That's what it was. Yeah. Okay. That's what I knew of.
And so you know, as a 17s team, we were always competing with the 18s teams. And so we won a couple of 18s tournaments as a 17s team. And so I think that was pretty cool, is being able to compete with, like, the kids who are a little bit older than us. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure that we won some 18s tournaments. But, again, I only won some bronze medals with my clubs. I think every year I won bronze medal, so you guys can call me the bronze medal king, I guess.
No way. You're going to be a gold medal recipient. That's what we're going to call right now.
All right. Sounds good.
So I'm going to jump in on your college moment, because I got to witness some of the best play between definitely the best two outside hitters at the time. It was you against Taylor Crabb at Long Beach State. I have to say, that's got to be one of your top moments. I'm not going to say that it is, but it's got to be one of your top moments going toe-to-toe against Long Beach State.
For sure. I remember having the conference tournament at BYU. And for me, every moment in college volleyball would have to be – every best moment would have to be playing in Provo 1,000%, because any time a big team would come, the crowds always showed up. And having 5,000-plus, you know, in that kind of small gym, I would consider it small, is pretty fun to play. And so it didn't matter who was on the other side, but – I remember we had a Long Beach State game. I think it was the semifinal.
Mm-hmm.
Or I think we had a semi and a final, conference final against them, against Long Beach. And Taylor's one of my really good friends. I saw him the other day. And he's such a great player. It's always fun beating him. And you know, he's always had his wins against me, but we've also been teammates. And so it's always fun playing against, you know, guys that, you know, bring the game to another level.
So can we see a Jake Gibb, Taylor Crabb against Brendan and Taylor Sander down in Huntington potentially?
Yeah, for sure. Jake's actually my parents' neighbor, so I see him every day. We actually played beach on Saturday with Jake and my brother. And, you know, just trying to touch the ball, keeping it safe still, you know, with this COVID-19. But, yeah, it was cool. We haven't touched the ball in a long time, so it was fun having Jake out there put up a big block. And
all right, so, you got to give me a call next time it's down there. I'm going to go down to my camera and cover this.
Sounds good. Sounds good.
I don't know if Jake will like it, but I had him on another panel with him just a few weeks ago, so hopefully he'll understand. I'm just trying to keep you guys in the public spotlight.
For sure. What you're doing is awesome.
Hey, favorite international pro moment? That could be Olympics, playing international club, BNL. What would you say is like one of the top moments for you, performance or even just a team experience?
Yeah, I think winning, some highlights for me are winning in 2014. It was my first year traveling and starting on the national team, and being able to win that first year was a big roller coaster. We had some matches where, you know, it was either we win or we're out of VNL. And so we ended up winning, crazy experience. You know, money's involved. I hadn't seen any money.
You guys won $1 million that year, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. And it was surreal. It was so cool for my debut as a pro athlete. And then for sure the Olympic Games, you know, are up there. It's a big roller coaster also. Very physically and emotionally demanding. But a lot of lessons that I've learned from there have really helped my volleyball career now. And then being able to medal and represent your country in, you know, the biggest stage of sport there is pretty dang cool. I'm very lucky to be an Olympian. So,
yeah. Well, that 2014 year, if I remember correctly, it was a very young team. And for the most part, USA wasn't really being considered to be in the final, but you guys upset Brazil in 5, if I remember correctly, in the semi.
4.
It's a 4, yeah. So, but it was intense. I remember watching it live.
For sure. It was me and Micah. It was our first years playing World League. It was World League at that time. And, yeah, crazy to experience that with him. And then being able to play with legends like Dave Lee, Sean Rooney was on the court, Matt Anderson, and Max Holt, Dave Lee, if I already said that. It's crazy, like, that I got to play with them because I looked up to them, you know, since I was a kid. And so it was cool being out there winning a gold medal with those guys.
Yeah. Well, let's go off the volleyball court. Favorite family moment? Because I know you got a tight family, and I'm honored and blessed to be able to know all of them. So I get to see the dynamic with all of you at so many events each year, with exceptions last year because of COVID. So kind of missing the Sander family. I told your mom that.
Are you talking about all of us as a family?
Or yes, a non-volleyball family-related moment, favorite moment this last year.
This last year? Well, for me, it's different than what other people would say. But we, during this COVID crisis, also I'll say the most recent, we went to St. George, Utah. And we rented an Airbnb there with just our family. And we have these Can-Am off-road cars.
Oh, cool.
What those are.
Mm-hmm.
They're called Can-Am Mavericks. And so my dad has one. I got one this last year. And so we went out there to this place called Sand Hollow. And it's like sand dunes and a bunch of rock crawling. There's a lake. And so we were there. And this was like kind of like a month after everything happened. And so we went there as a family to kind of get out of the house and, you know, do something fun. And so we went there and we had the most fun. We all jumped in the cars and went out and, you know, had fun moments. But my family, we always do have done extreme sports, and we've always been into dirt biking and going out to the desert, and so that's been a big part of my family growing up. And so being able to do that after not doing it since high school was pretty cool. It's just kind of like deja vu, like, you know, it's what I grew up doing. And so now that I haven't had volleyball, we've been able to do that again. So it's been cool.
Wow. So we go to a little fun segment here. I do the rundown just to get the inside look at Taylor Sander here. And they're easy questions. So it's just first thing that comes to mind, give an answer, and I'm going to jump to the next question. All right?
Sounds good.
Short board, fun board, long board, or sup?
I would say short board.
All right. Snowboard, skis, or snowmobile?
Snowboard.
Desert, river, beach, or mountains?
That's a tough one. River.
Did you get your natural good looks from mom or dad?
For sure, my mom. I look just like my mom.
All right. Your athletic ability from mom or dad?
Equally both. They're both studs. So I got good genes.
And favorite thing to do in passing time since you don't have volleyball?
Hanging out with my wife and my kid and watching, you know, my little one grow.
Awesome. Hey, Taylor, I can't thank you enough for taking the time.